I've wondered about something for a very long time. And maybe you have too. The question is obvious, but the answer is not so obvious. The question is, why would a good God allow bad things to happen? And maybe a different way to phrase that is, why would a good God allow bad things to happen to good people? But maybe we should consider this. This has been a phrase for a long time, but maybe we should consider this. What if we would consider the question about our own bad? How would a good God allow my bad to happen? I've done bad things. So why does a good God allow me to live? You may have struggled with your faith. You may have struggled with your faith in God and His goodness and His purposes. And that's okay for a time. But I want you to know that God is good and His purposes are good. And yet they are higher and greater than what we understand. And you need to remember that it's okay to struggle, but not to stay there in that unbelief, in that dead state. Now, God wants you to be more alive today than you were yesterday. And so, you might be asking, you might be thinking, who is this guy? And why does he think he knows more about faith than I do? Well, let me tell you. I used to be a doubter, and I struggled with believing and trusting in God. My name is Thomas. And I was well known for not believing. The key word is was. I was. Sometimes people have labeled me as Doubting Thomas. A few years ago, I met a rabbi named Jesus. And, it's been a little more than a couple of years, probably 2,000 years. I'd been walking by this crowd who were gathered around this person who was teaching. And I was very intrigued what he was saying about life and death and eternity and faith. And this was really interesting. He spoke with authority and with compassion all at the same time. And I was very curious with this man. So I started following him. At first, it wasn't like a disciple who would drop everything and everything in their life would become about Jesus. It was more like, in your modern language, I became a stalker. Or maybe more like a groupie. But things began to change over time. It took me a while because I really struggled with believing. Now, some people would tell me this about Jesus or that about Jesus. And I would struggle believing and I would say, whatever, I don't believe you. And I would walk away. I had to see with my own eyes. I had to see the evidence. In fact, I want to tell you a story that might blow your mind. There's one of your other modern day terms. I'll help you out there. Now, Jesus healed people in front of us. He cast out demons, and I'd never seen this before. I really couldn't believe my eyes. In fact, he multiplied bread, a couple pieces of bread and five fish, into multiple meals for all these different people. And many people came to believe and trust in him. Even the Jews put their faith in him. But some walked away because they were disappointed that he didn't do anything that they wanted him to do, or everything they wanted him to do. And so this story I want to tell you about, well, it's amazing. It is so amazing. You know, sometimes Jesus did things that didn't make sense. He didn't make sense. We were baffled. And so this story I want to tell you, you know, just to back up a couple steps, there were things that he did, like, remember the wedding that he made the wine, water into wine, and he waited till the last minute to make the wine, and he made the best wine. And here we thought he was doing it because his mom was being bossy or something. But he did it for a reason. There was a higher reason that he was doing it, an internal reason. And we thought it was because of something physical. But these things Jesus did for God's glory. Huh? You mean a man born blind is going to bring God glory? Someone who's blind for 40 years going to bring God glory? And then he keeps healing people on the Sabbath. I mean, doesn't he know? Doesn't Jesus, didn't he know that when he heals people on the Sabbath, he's just stirring up more trouble? And so, back to the story. There was a man named Lazarus, and he was sick. He was very sick. He was sick, and he was at the verge of dying. But Lazarus was from Bethany. This is the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Now, you may be confused because there's a lot of Marys. Just like in your church, there's a lot of Debbies, right? But there's a lot of Marys. And so, but this is the Mary who poured perfume on the rabbi's feet and wiped his feet with her hair and the perfume. And this, by the way, this made some of the disciples very angry, especially Judas, because he thought this was wasteful. In fact, he was in charge of the finances, so he thought it was very wasteful. And later on, we find out that he was stealing money. But that's another story. Obviously, Mary loved Jesus and trusted Jesus. And so this is the Mary who her sister Martha is doing all the work in the kitchen, and she's being hospitable with Jesus and cooking and cleaning. And she comes to Jesus. Martha comes to Jesus and says, "Hey, Jesus, will you please tell my sister to help?" And Jesus says to Martha, "Martha, it is good for Mary to be sitting at my feet and listening." And so Martha and Mary are distraught. They are beside themselves because their brother is sick. And so they send a message. They want to send a message to Jesus. Now, communication in our day is different than the communication of your day. What I understand is you have these things that you have in your hand, or like a thing that can send a message instantaneously to someone else across miles. And you can send a picture of a sick person across miles. But here we had to send a person to walk for days to deliver a message to somebody. And so the messenger was going to tell Jesus this message. And this is the simple message that was sent. "Lord, the one you love is sick." Now, it wasn't, you know, "Come quickly, come heal him," or "send a healing miracle through the air," or "make mud and throw it across the air with miraculous powers." It was, "Lord, the one who is sick, the one you love is sick." Now, we all know that Jesus had a close relationship with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who were from Bethany. And when we heard this message, Jesus said some interesting things. He said, "This sickness will not end in death." Okay, well, that's good to know. But then he says, "No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Okay, there he goes again. He's He's talking about God's glory through pain and through suffering. And so now Jesus, now we thought Jesus loved Lazarus and his two sisters. But what happened next kind of contradicted that. We had heard that Lazarus was sick, and then we stayed where we were for two more days. It didn't make sense to us, so why would we delay our trip to see them? But maybe, just maybe, Jesus knew it wasn't safe to go back to Jerusalem. However, later on we realize this, but however, Jesus, I think, was trying to teach us something. Maybe he was teaching us that even though he delays things, he still loves us. He delays things because he loves us. Sometimes life is difficult and painful. And God delays things because he loves us. But we didn't catch this at first. And then he said to the disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." I mean, Jesus, you're being indecisive here. Staying, going. Now, Bethany was about 2 miles east of Jerusalem. And so the last time we were in Jerusalem, Jesus stirred up tension because he kept claiming to be the Christ. He kept claiming to be the Messiah. In fact, the religious leaders were so fed up with him calling himself the Son of Man, they were ready to stone him. In fact, he said something. He kept talking about his father. He kept talking about doing his father's will. And then he said something really powerful that threw the religious leaders over the edge. And this is what he said. "My father and I are one." I mean, come on, Jesus. You're stirring up trouble. And they were ready to stone him. And so the tension was really tense in Jerusalem. And so they wanted to kill us. And we really were trying to look out for Jesus. So we said, "Hey, Rabbi, just a short while ago, the Jews, you know, remember they were trying to stone us, and yet you want to go back?" And so this was really confusing for us. And, you know, Jesus gives us riddles all the time. He would say things that would be logical, and yet they would have this deeper meaning, and they just didn't make sense. Now, I'll give you an example. Jesus said this, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight?" Okay, that makes sense, but it doesn't. What's he talking about? And then he says, "Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble." Okay, and they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. That makes sense, but it doesn't. I mean, like, what is he talking about? It's some kind of a deep understanding. And so we're scratching our heads, and as we're scratching our heads, John says, he says, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Now, I don't know if it was a statement or a question or both. He was kind of probing Jesus and asking. But, of course, Jesus was speaking of Lazarus' death. Even though we were thinking of something physical, something natural, we were thinking, you know, he's sick, he needs to sleep it off. But then Jesus looks at us very seriously. And he says, "Disciples, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake," this is what he says to us, "and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there." What? For our sake? I mean, what does that mean? He then said, "So that you may believe." Then he turns and he starts walking away towards Bethany. And he says, "Let us go to him." Well, then I thought, of course, I blurted out these words thinking, at the time they made sense, but really they didn't mesh, they didn't match up with Jesus' mission. And this is what I said. I turned to Jesus and I emphatically said, "Let's also go that we might die with him." And Jesus just turned and looked with this compassion and with this care and just continued to walk towards Bethany. It took a whole day to get there. And because we had been up by Salim, where John the Baptist had baptized many people, and many people had come to know Jesus and follow Jesus and put their faith in Jesus. So we had a long journey ahead of us. It was a whole day worth of walking. And we finally arrived, but we found that Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days. 1 day for the messenger to get to us, 1 day for us to get to Bethany, and 2 days because Jesus wanted to wait 2 days, which didn't make sense to us. And so it wasn't like we were doing anything crucial at the time. And as we walked into this town, as we're getting to the edge of this town, it was like going to a funeral because everybody was mourning and crying. And the Jews had come and they were comforting Martha and Mary because of the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that we were coming, she ran to us, very looking kind of sad, but angry. And she actually came right up to Jesus, almost like she was ready to hit him. She didn't hit him, though. And she actually said this. She said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But with that sound, with that exclamation, she had this extremely high expectation in her words. And she said, "But I know that even now God will grant you the ability to bring him back from the dead." And so, now I know that even God will give you what you ask. That's what she said. So Jesus looks at her with comfort, with a comforting look, and he comforts her, and he says, "Martha, your brother will rise again." But she thought he was talking about the resurrection of the dead on the last day. Then Jesus, with confidence and with a clear yet caring voice, said, and almost seemed like he was saying this to everyone, and he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die." And then he specifically looks at Martha and says, "Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe this?" Somehow, Martha's whole demeanor changed, almost like the tension had been released and she was able to take a deep sigh. And she says, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And after that, she went back and called her sister Mary aside and said, "The teacher is here and he's asking for you." And so when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Again, Jesus is standing there on the edge of the town waiting. I'm not sure why, what we're waiting for, but he's waiting as if he's waiting for something. Now, I wasn't with Mary when Martha went into the house. But later on, I found out, I had heard that the Jews said that Mary got up so quickly that they thought they'd follow her because they thought she was going to the tomb to mourn. And so Mary, as she's coming to Jesus and the Jews right behind her, she falls at Jesus' feet. And this time she says the same words as Martha, but she says it with softness. Now, we all mourn differently, and we all have pain that's just in a different way. We express ourselves. But she says to the Lord, she says, "Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died." So when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews coming alongside her were also weeping, Jesus was deeply moved in his spirit, and he was troubled. Now, this didn't make sense to me, because Jesus had done many miracles, and he was troubled. I mean, wasn't he going to do something? Mary Martha said he could have prevented this. Now, I wasn't convinced, but I mean, one thing, Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. I mean, nobody had ever gone without breathing for 4 days. I mean, maybe 4 minutes underwater, you could come back to life, but 4 days? I didn't believe it. There's just no way. And so then Jesus asked, "Well, where have you laid him?" And so we're wondering, okay, what's Jesus going to do now? And so they take us to the tomb. There's this huge rock in front of it. And it was the weirdest thing. Our rabbi who cast out demons, he told the money changers, he kicked them out. And all of a sudden, this strong person, this rabbi, is weeping. And then everybody around us said, "See how much he loved him?" But some of the disciples wondered, couldn't the one that gives sight to the blind man, couldn't he have prevented this? Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Maybe. Jesus, again, was once deeply moved by this scene, by what was going on, but he still said, "Take away the stone." And so Martha, Martha, she says, "Hey, Jesus, you smell that? You smell that stench? You smell that horrible smell? That is a body that has been in a grave for 4 days." So then Jesus says, he always says these things. He says that are just powerful, but they just don't make sense. And he says, "Martha, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And that is exactly what we saw. Man, wow, it was amazing. It was incredible. The men rolled away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and he had this conversation with the Father. He said, "Father, I know you've heard me. You always hear me. But I do this for the benefit of the people standing around me, and so that they may believe that you sent me." And at that point, Jesus called in a loud voice, almost yelling, and he says, "Lazarus, come out!" Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad that he used Lazarus' name, because if he didn't, I'm guessing we would have had a zombie fest of people coming out of the grave. And so the stone was rolled away, and Jesus is yelling, "Come out!" And it was unbelievable. This form of a person comes out all wrapped in grave cloth. And Jesus tells us to go over and unwrap him and let him go. And I'm thinking, well, I don't want to do that. And so it was just the weirdest thing, because we went over there, we started unwrapping him, and we didn't smell the stench. He didn't stink anymore. And as we're unwrapping it, we can hear him breathing. And then we unwrap him and we see his face, and it is as normal as any human being who has never died, who had never been decomposed in a grave for 4 days. It was a miracle. It was a sign. And so we looked at Lazarus and we looked at Jesus and we looked at Lazarus again. And all we could do was jump up and down and hug one another because it was incredible. It really did happen. And as I look back at this story and as I consider telling you this story, it's because I too struggled with faith. I too struggled with believing at different times throughout my journey. But I tell you this, it really did happen. It really did happen. Lazarus was raised from the dead. And then just a week or two later, Jesus, our rabbi, our Messiah, our Savior, he was crucified on the cross and killed. And I didn't believe it at first, but he told us that he was the resurrection and the life. And that today is completely 100% true. But I didn't believe it at first. Jesus, our Messiah, rose from the grave. And again, I struggled to believe it. But then I saw him. And because I saw his hands, and because I saw his feet, because I saw his side, I then believed. I have no more doubt that Jesus is who he says he is. And I have no more doubt that Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. And so I ask you the question. I've come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior. Do you believe? Do you trust in the Rabbi, the Savior, the Messiah? Now, Lazarus' death was tough. It was painful. It was scary. Now, your life, I don't deny that your life is tough and painful and scary. But I do know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and he can bring life and breathe life into anything because that's who he is. He's the resurrection and the life. And even though our physical body and our physical life is just, it's just the start of something eternal, something beautiful that will go on forever, eternity. Because Jesus said he was the resurrection and life. And so we can trust him. When you believe in him, even though your physical body dies, you will live eternally and spiritually. So if you struggle with believing, be in good company. Because I struggled in believing. But the thing is, I didn't stay there. I had to decide to trust in Jesus, to follow him, just like you have a choice to do that too. You know, it's been great to tell you this story and to be with you this morning. And I would like to pray for you like our rabbi prayed for us. So let's pray. Father in heaven, your name is holy. May your name be glorified. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your kingdom come. Lord, we pray that you would help us to believe that what you said you would do, that you would rise again, that you would bring life, that you are the resurrection and the life, that you are the living water, that you are the bread of life, all those things are true. And Father, we pray that we would trust in the resurrection and the life, that we would trust in you. When life is complicated and painful and difficult and devastating, Lord, may we put our faith in you. That this is temporary. That we continue to look towards the future of eternity with you. That you will make all things new. We pray this in Jesus' name.